Rocky Thompson, new assistant coach of the Edmonton Oilers, sticking with me for the first hour. So if you have any questions, you can text in at 10-12-60. Rock, for you, you know, the last 7 years, you were with the Oil Kings, then, of course, in OKC, and we've talked about your role in, you know, in video and watching the game upstairs. Now it comes to the NHL. You had the conversations with Dallas. Kind of, can you outline the specific role that you feel you're going to play in the coaching staff?
Well, I'm going to continue on in the press box for sure. And during the interview process with Dallas, I explained to him exactly how what I would do during a hockey game. And I think it kind of was some things that he wasn't thinking that would go on necessarily upstairs, but it was a positive thing that he thought, I think, something he would probably like to try now.
Can you elaborate, like, what kind of things?
Like I was telling you about earlier, like, obviously the system breakdown of the other team, and if there's adjustments that need to be made, etc., you know, special teams, what's coming at us that maybe they're not seeing on the bench. But as far as the teaching was concerned, where I would have video up there and would log specific things for the purposes of either relaying down to the bench to articulate something, like it could be replays of, like, why is our forecheck not working? And I have the ability to rewatch those clips and to kind of break it down in real time and then give a quick explanation as to what it is that's causing the problem. And it could be to whoever, it could be to Keith Acton, to Craig Ramsey, in order to relay that to Dallas, what adjustment we need to make, because that's happening so fast when you're down at the bench level that you don't always have the opportunity to really slow it down and break it down and what needs to change. So I think that's something that has always been the purpose of the eye in the sky, but at the same time I can come down between periods with that and help teach the players during the game that it's not something that's like, oh my gosh, you know, it's taking 5 minutes to do. No, it's a quick 30-second, you know, little teaching session. It might be one clip, it might be 4 seconds long, and say, you see how you're coming down the wall here? Well, if you'd be 5 feet more to the middle, it'll take away this option, and this is what we're trying to do. It could just something simple like that. They get a quick visual. Now they can take it, go on the ice, and it's nothing but a positive thing. But Dallas and I haven't sat down yet since I was hired to see exactly how he was going to implement me during the game and what exactly he wants from me to give to him. That's something we still got to go over and work out together. And at the same time, I'm here for him, and I'm going to do whatever he likes to do. But I have some ideas that I think, have really worked well down at the minor league level. And I'm going to present those to Dallas and see if it's something he'd like to run with a little bit.
And then what about on, like, practice days and such like that? How do you foresee your role?
I believe that I'll be running a lot of optional practices, that Dallas won't be on the ice. It's something I did in Oklahoma City. I'm a very good practice coach. I run a lot of drills, obviously. I do a good job of explaining those things to the players, getting them to execute it well. So that's nothing that's been foreign to me. I've been doing it for a long time now. And again, teaching, just on the ice. I'm constantly teaching.
And interesting you bring that up, because Struds, who jokingly says he had more bag skates than anybody in the history of the NHL, he put himself up there with bag skates. He said the thing that frustrated him the most was, you know what, he goes, I knew my abilities as a player. I wasn't the most skilled guy. He goes, but I was always in shape. Bag skating me on a game day, I'm in shape. I wanted to work on my skills. And for him, now granted, it's a different generation, and he's just been out of the league for 4 years, but he always felt like it really wasn't a big positive for him just to be bag skated to work in shape. But rather, he said, I would have rather spent a lot of time working on my skill development to become a better player. What's your philosophy, you know, for the extra guys, you know, the optional practices, or even for the Black Aces type of thing, where it's not just a focus on being in shape? Because, you know, those guys are in shape. I don't think you suddenly lose shape as an NHL player midway through the year.
No, I agree with you. There's no doubt. And I do take the approach that Jason does as well. But I think you can blend them both. I work on skill development while it's being very taxing on the player as well. And that's what a game is like. You're going out there, you're going 100%, but at the same time, you're doing skill drills. So it's not just something that's nice and slow. If you can do something at a high level, which an NHL player has to be able to do, that is something that's not only going to develop their skill or increase it, but at the same time your conditioning level is going to be high. I've been very creative with that, because I, like Jason, was a Black Ace too. I was up for almost two entire seasons my first 2 years as a National Hockey League player, and only played 15 20 games or something like that. So I was constantly a healthy scratch for a lot of those games, and I had to do all those skating drills, and I thought to myself the same thing as Struddy did. Man, like, I can do this with my eyes closed. Like, what I have trouble with, I need the puck, you know what I mean? And so when I became a coach, I wanted to make it so it was a little bit more enjoyable, a little more fun, add in elements of shooting, but at the same time instilling some fundamental things that can really help a player out and just become muscle memory, so when they get out there, they're doing it naturally, because that's something I felt that I really could have used myself.
Yeah, it's amazing how it was just, oh, we're just going to make you skate and skate and skate. Well, the reason you weren't playing wasn't because you weren't in shape, right? The reason you weren't playing is because likely your puck handling abilities weren't on the same par as the number six defenseman and the number 12 forward.
No, exactly. And I mean, it just sometimes it's just a numbers game. Like with our guys in Oklahoma City, it's not because of that they're not as skilled, for example, as somebody else. Gosh, sometimes we got to sit out a skilled guy who we just don't want playing on our fourth line because he's more of a top six guy. But we're loaded there and we need that kind of a grinding presence. So the odd man out ends up being a very high skilled guy. Well, I mean, there's areas of his game that he needs to improve on. It might be one-on-one battling, puck protection if you're a forward, and we can definitely design drills around those types of things, which are, again, taxing. But you address different skill sets for different players. It's not one size fits all, and that's the challenge of a coach is to know what it is that you got to do in order to improve a player, keep them sharp, and that's been a focus of mine since I become a coach, whether it was with the Oil Kings, which was at a 16-17-year-old level with an expansion team, on to the American Hockey League level with 20-year-old guys. Most of the guys on our team are 20, 21 years old, just learning how to be a pro and feeling the difference in strength and speed that the professional hockey level brings. And it's something that we can help them out with every day before practice or after practice. And we want to make it fun, because at the end of the day, we want the guy showing up to the rink saying, man, I want to get out there early with Rock. I don't want to, have that kind of a gloomy feeling, say, oh my gosh, we got to do this stuff again. No, we want, it's like, we're going to be better. We're going to have fun. We're going to do it. It's not going to be, a nightmare for you. We're going to enjoy ourselves out there.
You worked with the young defenseman a lot in OKC, Martin Marincin, Oscar Klefbom, the rest of them, a lot of Oilers fans curious. Out of the other guys, who do you feel maybe is close to being an NHL player of those other young defensemen in the organization?
Well, I'll tell you what, Brandon Davidson is a sleeper in the minors. Not many people really know that name. I know he got called up briefly early last year, but then he had a really rough start to the season last year. He's a young man who battled cancer as a rookie in the American Hockey League, his first year pro. He came out of that strong. He's a great character guy. And that last year, I mean, the chips were against him again at the start of the year. I think he started minus 15 in the first 10 games. And, his confidence was really shattered on the ice, but he just started battling and grinding. And Brad Hunt was his partner, who got called up for a couple of games, and Hunts and him really started to develop this union with one another as partners. And the next thing you know, my gosh, by the end of the year, these two guys were phenomenal. And Brandon Davidson, he's 6'3". He's about 225 pounds. He's strong enough to play in the National Hockey League. He plays with his head up. You haven't seen his offensive side yet, because he hasn't been put into those situations as far as playing on the power play, which he did in junior. He put up over 50 points with the Regina Pats. He definitely has that club in his bag, and I think it's something that he wants to show. I believe Todd Nelson is probably going to give him that opportunity this year to do. And I think this year, Brad Hunt, I mean, I don't want to diminish Brad Hunt, who had an excellent season, a really breakout year for us down, and he was up in our leaders in points with, I think he had 55 points. Don't quote me on that, but it was close. But again, Davey, I think that you're going to see Brandon Davidson really have a surge this year in the last year of his entry-level contract.
David Musil is someone Oder fans are very curious about. Big, strong guy. I think would be a defensive defenseman most likely. How much of an improvement did you see in his foot speed? And is that the one thing that if he's going to make the jump to being a regular NHL guy, is it really going to hinge on his foot speed?
You know, it is something that has to be for sure. That is a little bit of his Achilles heel, as everybody knows. David is a guy who works extremely hard in the gym. He everybody knows Frank Musil, and these guys have been training since they were boys, and they love their dad, they respect them, and their horses. There's no doubt about it. So he worked very hard last last year to improve it. Going backwards, he is a decent skater. His acceleration forward, that was tough when he would pivot and try to get foot races to the puck. He did have a tough time with those things. He played pretty well with the puck as the year progressed. He, like you said, he's a big, strong, conditioned young man. He was able to break the cycle in the corner. He did a great job one-on-one down low where there was no real speed involved. It was more about grinding it out. He's a very smart kid. So at the same time, we had to see if that acceleration over the summer, which is hard to train during the year, you know, you're doing so many different things during the year and you do work on it and try, but you cannot isolate a thing like that in season. It's really extremely hard to show those gains and benefits. So we're all excited to see how he does coming in, because we know it's something he knows he needs to address. And he's the type of kid that's going to, you know, do everything he possibly can to improve himself in order to get to the National League.
Rocky Thompson, our guest live here on TSN 1260. Wondering, a lot of people watched on Oil Change last year about, you know, the pregame pump up lecture with nicknames and such like that. That's something I know back in the day with the Oil Kings, they talked about it. You know, you're really a guy who knows how to motivate. And when I look at this coaching staff, you know, you're 10 years younger than Dallas, and, you know, Craig Ramsey could be your father. You know, there's kind of a joke about that. You're a young guy. You think it's important to have an energetic coach on the staff? And how do you bring that excitement, energy level to the NHL? Should it be any different?
No, absolutely. I mean, I am an energetic guy. There's no doubt. I have so much fun when I get to the rink. It's an amazing life to be a part of. There's no doubt, as a player and then as a coach, it's outstanding. And so I'm always in a good mood down there. I mean, even when the times are tough, it's hard. But when you see those videos, it's kind of funny because the videos don't really pump up the guys. You know what I mean? When I'm sitting there kind of, you know, screaming or saying, it doesn't matter, like The Rock would say during the WWE days. Our guys aren't like getting pumped up like it's some kind of a, you know, Vince Lombardi speech or something like that. They're getting a kick out of it is what they're doing. They're having fun. It takes the pressure off of things. You can go out and relax a little bit. It doesn't mean that we're not intense. It doesn't mean that we're not focused. We've prepared. What you see in 10 seconds is just a little bit of fun. And what we've been doing all day is preparing for what the battle is ahead of us with the video, the seriousness. Now it's time to, the work is done. We're going to go out. We're going to play. We're going to go out. We're going to have fun. Because at the end of the day, we all started this game because we love it. We want to have fun. And when you're enjoying yourself on the ice, you don't play any better than when you're feeling that feeling. And that's something we try to do. So am I going to spaz out in the middle of the Oilers dressing room? I don't think so, because believe it or not, that put a lot of stress on me, you know, having to look like a goof like that in front of guys. But I am a high energy guy, and I'm going to have fun with the players no matter what. And it's going to be a good time.
Something tells me you and Luke Gazdik will have some conversations. I know you've told me all about it in the past. The reason you were able to fight guys who are 20, 30 pounds heavier than you was all about the angles that you had learned as a gold glove boxer. And, you know, Luke Gazdik did very well for himself last year. Like, man, he KO'd some big heavyweights. But what about, you know, how much of that did you work with guys who weren't fighters, but at least giving them some insight? So if push came to shove and a guy's in a situation, he at least knows how to handle himself. And when you look at the Edmonton Oilers, one of the big criticism this team has had is that they haven't had enough guys who, when push comes to shove, are willing to push back. And I'm not expecting them all to be brawlers or anything, but how important do you think that is to give a guy even a few tips to say, if on the off chance it happens, at least you're comfortable and confident knowing that you have a basic foundation on how to protect yourself and handle yourself in that situation?
You know what? Like, fighting is such a unique thing. There's no real way of practicing it. Now, I can, and I have, and I do, just in case, like you said, if somebody dropped their gloves, you got jumped, don't do this. Here's where you can grab to protect yourself, you know what I mean, to be more defensive. I don't teach them how to fight to win, because a guy who never fights, they'll get hurt probably if they fight to win, unless it's just some natural instinct that takes over and some kind of a grizzly bear comes out in them that you never saw before. But really what I would teach is how to be defensive, how to protect yourself so you don't get hurt. But at the end of the day, I've worked with guys. It's hilarious. When I was playing, I've worked with guys, spent summer. We'd get the boxing gloves on the ice, do various things. And they would come into the season, they got in a fight, and everything they knew was out the window, and they were turtling, and they were just scared to death. And so there's only one way to really practice fighting in hockey, Because I really don't like working on it with people because I just think it's pointless.
Well, yeah, it's more so just the basic tips of
where
survival.
To hold,
yeah.
Survival, exactly. And I do that. I don't, you know, but then they all want to know, well, how do I do that? No, just hold here, hold there, and just be patient until the fight is over. But at the end of the day, the only way you really know how to fight, if you want to be any kind of successful at it, is to fight. And they called me Rocky Raccoon my first 2 years in Medicine Hat because I had black eyes every single week. It was a new one because I had to learn the hard way. But, you know, now it's like riding a bike probably. Well, I'm never going to find out again. Let's put it that way.
No, probably not.
No, never.
No, done. And it's funny because the Rocky Thompson on the ice was such a – and it's like that way with so many of those guys. How did you – was it just because you felt like you went to Medicine Hat and said, you know what, I'm going to do whatever it takes to play in this league, and so I'll go outside of my comfort zone? Is that really, you know, obviously you must have had some confidence with the boxing background, but it's really, there's very few kids that I'm sure when you played road hockey, no one ever, hey, I want to be Dave Brown, right? Like everybody wanted to be Wayne Gretzky or Mark Messier or whoever it was, and it just, it's kind of, it falls into your lap and suddenly become good at it. Nowadays, the game has changed, and there are still some guys. When you look back, was it ever hard to think, you know what, maybe I shouldn't have went into it. Maybe I should have went with your skill level. Or do you look and say, man, I probably wouldn't have been in the NHL if I hadn't done it that way?
Well, you know what? It's funny you say that because I wanted to be Dave Brown and Marty McSorley.
You know, really?
I was a wrestler. Okay. I was a boxer. I loved the physicalness of the game, the physicality, of the game, and I wanted to – to do that. I wanted to battle. And so those were my idols growing up. And at the end of the day, I wanted everybody, ever since I played minor hockey, I want everybody to know that I was the toughest guy on the ice and I wanted to prove it. And there's a switch in my head that goes off. It's different in the game. I'll tell you what, I can play in the Sherwood Park League here, the summer league, and have a great time, work hard. And I want the opposition to work hard. As soon as some guy slashes me, for no real reason, or hooks me, a switch goes off in my head and I'm thinking, stop doing it, or, you know what I mean?
Even now, still.
Yes, it happened last night.
But the difference is you're able to, like, it's the inner voice. You don't ever let it become the outer voice, or do you?
No, the outer voice comes out and says, hey, like, stop doing that because I'm going to get real mad. You know what I mean? Like, just don't do it. Like, let's just play and have fun, work hard. Last thing I need is a stick to come by my face because I was on a breakaway in summer hockey. Are you serious? Like, let's just skate harder to take it away from me. You'll probably beat me to the puck anyway. You know what I mean? So maybe I'm going to stop playing.
Now, have you ever had a guy in men's league who, quote, wanted a shot at the title?
No, they never did. But I threatened a few guys who then realized, well, they better not do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's why I don't play men's league, because I don't want to do that. I don't want to be like that. You know what I mean? I want to go out and have fun. I want to have a sweat. I love hockey. I want to play. But you slash me, and I'm like, oh, why? You know, and then, like you say, my whole I've had 300 fights as a professional hockey player, back to junior, exhibition season. You know what I mean? That you try and shut that off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when you're in a situation like that. And I know it's summer hockey. I'm not going out trying to look for something like that. I'm just going out, enjoying myself. Like I said, I'm playing with my son. I've never been able to do that in my whole life. I had children quite young. You know, I was 20 years old when I had my oldest boy. He's an excellent hockey player. I love being able to go out and play with him. It's not something a lot of fathers ever get the opportunity to do. And we're having fun together. And then somebody cross-checks me. Like, maybe I'm wearing a visor now because I don't want to get cut. Maybe they don't realize that it's me or, you know, they don't, you know, I'm not saying that I'm something special, but it was probably the only thing I was really, really good
yeah,
at.
Yeah, no, I think it's safe to say that, you know, you had NHL caliber fighting ability. There's no argument about that. Well, George Larac told us on the show about the time you fought him, and he said, for a guy who wasn't nearly as big as me, I learned very quickly after that to never take a guy lightly who was smaller.
Well, I'm lucky he took me lightly.
Well, and he joked about it, but he just, you know, he didn't think about it because George is huge.
Oh, yeah, he's a monster. He outweighs me by about 60 pounds. And did.
Yeah, well, now maybe 70 or 80.
I haven't seen George in a
while. Oh, he's in town. We were bugging him. He's in town filming for a TV show, actually.
Oh, good for him.
We're going to have some fun with that.